Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing and glad in it. I'm so glad to be able to have you join us wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much from the bottom of our heart. It's our prayer that God will use this streaming and this ministry and today's word to be an encouragement to you, as well as the music and the worship of the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. I'm going to be ministering today about discouragement and depression. From 1 Kings chapter 19, the prophet Elijah had done great things, accomplished great miracles from God. But yet, even in the face of supernatural provisions and the power of God flowing in his life, he faced discouragement. And you're going to face discouragement. And I want to spend some time today to help you overcome that discouragement and give you principles and truths of what you can do to face your discouragement. I believe it's a word that's going to be a strength to you for your future. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day. God bless you. Hallelujah, Father. With a heart full of praise, heart of thanksgiving, we come before you today to give you praise and thanks. You're a loving God, a tremendous Savior, and we thank you for your overwhelming love for us. Thank you for every door you've opened and every prayer that you've responded to. And we come before you today to just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Thank you, Father, for being an awesome God. Thank you for saving us and forgiving us and cleansing us and delivering us and healing us. We come praying for each other this afternoon. We intercede for our brother, our sister, whose hand we hold. We call their name out, knowing that you know the details of their circumstance. We're praying that your perfect will would be manifested in their life, manifested in their circumstance. We're praying that you rebuke the hand of the enemy and let the Holy Ghost have free reign in our life. Let what you decreed in heaven become a reality right here in our life and on earth. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray that you'd meet every need of your sons and daughters today. Whatever they stand in the need of, granted is our prayer. We confess our sins, acknowledge our transgressions. We ask for your forgiveness. And God, we pray that you would put a shield around us and protect us from the attacks and the temptations and the struggles of the enemy. Rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Bind him on every side. It is my prayer today, God. I would pray that somebody who needs to be saved will be saved, get saved today. That needs forgiveness today. Some backslider will be restored today. Somebody who's unsure today. Is our prayer in the name of the Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters who join us around the world by technology. And when it's all said and done, bless this word today that you've given us to share, that lives will be impacted, touched, and changed. And that your name be get all of the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated and open your Bibles, your iPhone, your iPad, your notebook to 1 Kings chapter 19 and look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball. Look at them right now. Don't look at their nose. Don't look at their teeth. Look at their eyeball to eyeball. Look at them seriously and say, you're going to need this word today. You might not need it right now, but sometime you're going to need this word, so pay attention. Did y'all tell them? Look at the person on the other side. Tell them. They didn't hear it. Tell this joker right here. He ain't looking at nobody. All right, so today I want to tell you a story. This is a narrative message. It's a story. It's a Bible story, as a matter of fact. And before I read the text, I need to give you the background of the situation so you can understand what's going on. So I want to spend several minutes painting the picture. You got to pay close attention so you can get the story. Yep, this is a 12 o'clock service. I'm going to take my time. Pastor Elijah, he's a prophet, has has been given a word from God to take to the king, whose name is Ahab. Say Ahab.
Ahab.
The problem with Ahab, he has ascended to the throne in the footsteps of his father. And he takes the mantle of leadership and he's leading the people of Israel. He is the king of Israel. The problem with Ahab is that he has followed the same steps of his daddy. He has led the children of Israel away from God. They strayed away from God. And so God sends the prophet Elijah to take a message to the king. And here's what the prophet says. This is what he says. There will be no rain on the earth nor dew until I speak a word. You know, it's a problem when there's no rain. Not only is there no rain, there's no dew. And when the dew don't do the dew, what the dew supposed to do, it's a problem. Crop are dying, animals can't feed. It's an economic crisis. It's a problem. It is a dramatic situation. And so the king, for 3.5 years after he gets this word, he pushes it to the side at first. But after 3.5 years of no rain, he said, I got to find that preacher. During the drought, God takes care of the prophet. Y'all better find you a man of God that can hear from God. Look at your neighbor and say, we got us a man of God. Tell your neighbor, we got us a man of God. Because what God does is feeds him supernaturally. God tells Elijah during the drought, go to the brook and drink from the brook, and I will command ravens to feed you. Now, see, I got to explain everything to y'all. Matter of fact, this story is better than Game of Thrones. I don't know why y'all watch the Game of Thrones. All you got to do is read the Bible. The Bible, and it's real. That Game of Thrones, I don't know what that foolishness is about. I ain't never watched it, but if you read the Bible, you got your own Game of Thrones. God, he says to Elijah, I'm going to just drink out of the brook, and I'm going to command the ravens to feed you. So the ravens bring him bread and meat every day. Now, that's a phenomenal thing because ravens are scavengers. That means they take what's been killed and consume it on themselves. But God changes the nature of the ravens. And instead of them being scavengers, don't clap yet. Clap after I finish telling you this part. Y'all clapping too soon. I'm glad that you're clapping, but I want you to hear the whole story. Hear at least this part of it. I'm going to tell you, when I finish saying this, you'll know when to clap. What was I saying? I was saying something. Okay. Oh, yeah. He said, huh? He changed the nature. Yeah. Somebody listening to me, thank you. He changed the nature of the ravens, and instead of them being consumers of what's for themselves, they instead take the meat and bread and fly it and deliver it to Elijah. Now, the reason that, not yet, the reason it's significant is there's ravens in your life who would normally take from you. Wait! But God will change the nature of the ravens. God's going to change somebody who's trying to take from you and have them bring something beneficial to you. Now clap. Go ahead. Clap now. Y'all always walking around worried about what somebody doing to you. We serve a God who can shift what they do. ravens brought him food and bread, meat and bread, and then the brook dried up. So now when the brook dries up, God tells Elijah, this is Osiah's story here, that I'm just going to throw in as a part of the 17th and 18th chapter of 1 Kings. God says to Elijah, the brook is dried up. Now go to Zarephath, and there is a woman there, a widow that I have commanded to sustain you. So he goes to Zarephath, and sure enough, there's a widow there, her and her son. He goes to the widow. He says, make me a sandwich. She says, all I have is enough flour in the barrel for me and my son for our last sandwich. And I'm about to make that. We're going to eat it and die. He said, fix one for me first, and God will take care of you.
Come on.
Lean over to your neighbor. Look at them eyeball to eyeball again and say, take care of the pastor first and God will take care of you. Tell them! And God will take care of you. I'm trying to help some of y'all out, but some of y'all ain't gained nothing since Boo shot Lincoln to the pastor. You got me? Amen. So not only does she do it, every time she goes back to the barrel, there's something in there. But then her son dies. And Elijah raises her son back to life. Claps are getting lower and lower. Y'all don't know when to clap, when not to clap. So now we got this humongous drought in the land, and it is at such a point that the king finally decides, I better go find that preacher. So he sends out a search team to find him. And when they find him, Elijah said, go get him. I'll wait right here for him. Bring him on. So they meet, and Elijah says to King Ahab, the people and you have been halted between two opinions. How long you gonna be halted between two opinions? He says this, if God is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, stop shucking and jiving with God and go ahead and follow Baal. Let me say this. Let me reiterate and preach his sermon to you. If you're going to serve God, get in the pool all the way. If you ain't going to serve God, just go ahead to hell and stop. Stop having one foot in the church and one foot in the club. Stop drinking from the communion table and the bar. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Say something. Say ooh. He says, how long are you going to be halted between these two opinions? If God be God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. And then he says, let's conduct a contest and find out whose God is the true God. Are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
So he says to Ahab, get your preachers that's been preaching to you, 450 of them. Y'all create an altar. Let's take a bull, two bulls. You get a bull. I'm going to take a bull. You call on your God, I'm going to call on my God, and let's call on God and find out whose God is the true and living God. Are y'all with me so far? So the Ahab and the 450 line preachers built their altar, put the bull on the altar, and they began to pray to to their God. They started in the morning, around noontime, no answer. Evening time, no answer. All night, no answer. Next morning, they come back, they start to dancing around the altar. But there's no answer. Around noontime of the next day, Elijah said, "What's up?" Y'all need to, if y'all read the story, y'all know I'm telling the story. He says, "Maybe your God is on a trip. Maybe he's gone on a journey. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's talking to somebody else. Maybe he's on the phone, can't take no additional phone calls." The Living Bible, it's a paraphrase. The Living Bible says, "Maybe he's on the toilet and he can't come right now." And then he turns over and he goes to his the altar he created with the bull that he put on his altar. Then he says, "Before I pray for God," or here was the thing. They were going to find out which God was the God. The true God would answer by fire. I forgot to tell you that little detail. That's a pretty important detail. So they 450 to 400, the 400, the 450 of those false prophets over there. Got no answer. Elijah says, "Before I pray and before my God answers, I want you to get me 4 barrels of water." By the way, he knew where to get some water when there was a drought in the land. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Just thought I'd throw a little extra right there that y'all don't understand. They take the water and they pour it over the bull and over the altar. They build a trench around the altar. The water flows into the altar. He said, "Go give me 4 more barrels." So they went and got 4 more barrels. It's 8. Now there's 8 barrels of water. He said, "Go do it a third time." 12 barrels of water. In the time when there's a famine and a drought and no dew, he knows where to get 12 barrels of water. They bring it, they pour it. And his point is, I want y'all to make sure that this ain't no trick. My God's going to answer by fire. You're not going to be able to say that there's some magic done to this. It's saturated with water. I'm just telling the story. I haven't even told you what I'm preaching about yet. I'm just laying the foundation because y'all said for me to take my time. I'm going to take my time. And then Elijah prays. And down from heaven came fire. Licked up the altar, licked up the offering, licked up the dust, the dirt, and licked up the water in the trench. And Elijah stood up and said, "Now our God is the true and the living God." He takes the 450 line preachers and executes them. Look at your neighbor and say, "Don't be a preacher if you ain't called. You might die." And then we come to chapter 19. I did all of that to bring you to chapter 19. You've got to know the background to know and understand what's happening. When we get to chapter 19, I'm going to start at verse 1. Are y'all with me? When we get to chapter 19, verse 1, it says this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Stick a pen right there. Let me reword that. Let me put this in today's vernacular. And henpecked Ahab told controlling wife Jezebel. Why y'all not clapping now? Come on, clap. Why y'all ain't saying amen now? All that Elijah had done. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Now, I went through all of that because I wanted to point out one major thing I want to say to you today. I want you to walk away with understanding something very significant. First of all, I want you to see what a significant man of God Elijah is. That God has anointed him and God uses him in supernatural ways. And even with that supernatural ways, he gets one threat from one woman and he gets discouraged and depressed to the point that he doesn't even want to live no more. He goes and prays to God, tell God to take his life. Why? What am I talking about? Why am I saying this? Because if Elijah got discouraged, yes, you're going to get discouraged. Yes, yes. I know y'all don't want to admit it, but there's somebody on your row who's discouraged. Life discourages you. The challenges of life discourage you. The problems of life discourage you. Your job discourages. Your marriage discourages you. Your finances or the lack thereof discourages you. You have issues and problems, or you are in a place of discouragement. And I need to talk to you today because we are all bound to face discouragement. In my own life, I've had seasons and periods and moments of discouragement and, yes, even depression. But all of the success I've had, God has enabled me to have some great success in life. I've accomplished a lot of things. Last week, I was not here last week because I was preaching at a university commencement. I did 5 commencement graduation exercises for a university.
Go ahead, Pastor.
Look, I don't even have a degree, but I was talking to people that got some degrees. And this school, 148 years old, this school is 148 years old. They gave me something that they have only given out 4 times in the history of the school. They gave me the President's Award. I'm the 5th person to get the President's Award. But even with all of these accomplishments and great things that God has done, even in my life, I have seasons of discouragement. But I've learned how to capture it. You know what I learned? I learned that discouragement is the prerequisite to depression. I've learned that I gotta nip discouragement in the bud, because if I let it live, if I let it hang around, it will bloom into depression for me. And some of you today are depressed today. Some of you are living in seasons of depression and moments of depression and challenges of depression. And some of you are discouraged and you're allowing the moments and seasons of discouragement to frustrate you and hurt you and keep you demotivated. But we're coming to kill that demon today. Somebody tell your neighbor, we're going to kill that demon today. Tell them, we're not going to let that demon control us. We're not going to let it frustrate us. We're not going to let him hold us down. So what I want to do today, this is really a 6-part message, but a 6-point message, but I'm only going to give you 3 points today. I want to tell you about the cause of discouragement. What causes you to get discouraged? And I want to give you 3 points. Here's number 1. Point 1. Y'all ready to write it down? The opinions of other people. You worried about what other people think. Look at this is in verses 1 through 3. Let me read it to you. Let me read it again. I read it once, but let me read it again. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Get the picture. Y'all got the picture? Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, "I'm going to kill you by tomorrow." And based on this message, he enters into a state of running for his life. Verse 3, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. He was running for his life. He allowed what she said. Matter of fact, here's what he did. Verse 3 says, look, let me show this to you. Verse 2 says, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. What's the next word? Saying. Somebody said he said something. But when we get to verse 3, it says, and when he saw. Okay, I got to make it plain to y'all. She said something. He translated it and saw it. He didn't just hear it. He made it a reality in his mind. And that's the problem with some of y'all. You let what other people say translate into you seeing what they say about you. I know y'all ain't getting that. Y'all will get it in the morning. I'm trying to bind a demon here that keeps frustrating you and making you think you ain't nothing, and thinking you gonna be defeated, and thinking you gonna be cast down, and thinking you ain't gonna win, and you ain't gonna get up, and you're not gonna get healed, and you're not gonna get this, and you see it. And it's a problem when you allow other people's opinion to become a reality in your mindset. It ain't real in life, but you allow what they say to be seen in your mind. He saw it. And he ran for his life based on what this woman said. She wasn't even the king. His wife, her husband was the king. She was just the wife. Lord, I wish I had the freedom to say what I want to say. Don't try to coax me into it. I'm going to get in trouble if I say what I'm thinking. Do y'all understand what I'm saying to you today? You can't let people's opinions. Y'all keep worrying about what other people say.
Yeah.
And you making decisions and choices and taking actions based on what other people say. You dressing for other people, acting like other people, trying to be like other people. And the truth of the matter is, you're trying to impress them, and they still don't like you.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, he's preaching better than you're saying amen. You allow other people's opinion to dictate and control your way, your choices and your decisions. And that's what got Elijah. He's a great man of God. But yet, just based on what this woman said, he saw it in his mind. And he ran for his life. That's the first point. Here's the second point. Let me hurry up. Some of you are discouraged, not only for other people's opinion, but some of you are discouraged and depressed because of your own point of view. What you mean? Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." Here's his own opinion. He said, "It's enough." That's his opinion. If one more person say to me, "I can't take no more," I'm going to punch you in your face. I want to say that I want to kick your asteroids.
I ain't got to come back. I'm tired of people telling me what they can and cannot take. I'm tired of you drawing a limit to the maximum of what you have the capacity to handle. Do you not know that if you could not handle it, God would not allow it to come into your life? Do you not know we serve a God who has made a promise that he will never let more come into your life than is greater than what you have the capacity to bear? Stop telling yourself what you can't do. Matter of fact, what we have to learn to do as mature Christians, sold out believers, that when something comes in my life, what you need to do is shout and say, Lord, there's the time I couldn't have handled this, but if God let it come in my life now, he knows I'm more than able to handle it. Go ahead, high five yourself and say, I'm more than able to handle it. I'm more than capable. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can take a licking and keep on ticking. I can win. I can get up. I can be victorious. I'm a victor and not a victim. I'm a winner and not a loser. I'm up and not down. I am more than a conqueror. I got more than enough. I got more than enough power, more than enough grace, more than enough anointing, more than enough. I can take it. I can deal with it. You know what you need to do when life hands you lemonade and tough moments? Here's what you need to say to yourself. This too shall pass. Somebody say, this too shall pass. You need to say, I'm coming up out of here. I'm not going to stay here. I didn't come here to stay. I didn't come here to remain. I'm not staying in this posture right here. I'm going to conquer it. I'm going over it. I'm going to be better when I come up out of this. Hallelujah. I'm serving a God who is walking with me. And he's giving me power to endure. His own opinion. And here's something else he said. He said, matter of fact, he said in the latter part of verse 4, put verse 4 back up there again. Let me cover that. Put verse 4 back up there again. Thank you. Yeah, I got that little bald spot back there. I think I'm gonna get a toupee or something to put it up on.
It's all right.
He says, it is enough. That's not true. He accepted a lie. Right. He believes that something that wasn't true. Mm-hmm. He said, now Lord, take my life. Then he says, for I am no better than my father's. Yeah. That's the other mistake he made. He compared himself to others. Y'all are messing up by comparing yourself to other people. Yeah. Don't compare yourself to nobody else. You ain't called to run nobody else's life or nobody else's run. You're not called to run nobody else's race. Run your race. Do what God called you to do and don't compare yourself with anybody else. Elijah, as great of a man of God as he is, don't compare yourself to nobody else. You got your own journey to tread, life to run. Some of you are going to get frustrated and defeated because you keep comparing yourself to other people. Tell your neighbor, stop comparing yourself to other people. And by the way, stop trying to be like somebody else. Y'all up here trying to be like other people. Y'all better stop trying to be like Kanye and Beyonce and Jay-Z and I don't know who y'all be trying to be like. Be you. Be who God made you to be.
Hallelujah. Y'all got that? I got one last point. What was my first point? Other people's opinion. The second point? Conquer your own point of view. Here's the third and final point. I want to talk about what creates, again, discouragement is putting yourself in an outcast position. Outcast position. Say that. Outcast position. Now slide down to verse 9 and 10. This is Elijah, the great man of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, see the C that he is capitalized. Y'all see that? That's God talking. And God said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? And the problem that brought him to a place of discouragement as well is he isolated himself. He went up to a cave, spent the night in the cave, and God came to him and said, what in the world are you doing here? Let me tell y'all something. This is a very important point. I hope you get it, and I'm finished after this. Some of you have isolated yourself. You've disconnected. Isolation is the work of the devil. When you get to a place where you don't want to talk to nobody, you don't want to be around nobody, you don't want nobody calling you, you ain't answering your phone, you ain't responding to your emails, you ain't coming to church, you've quit the ministry, that's the work of the devil. He wins. God never called any of us to transverse the issues of our lives by ourselves.
Come on.
Amen. Why y'all not clapping now? Y'all was clapping. Y'all was just jumping up and shouting. I had to slow y'all down. Why y'all stopping now? I'm in the meat of it now. I'm trying to tell you today. And I know y'all are here, but I'm telling you, let me tell you something. There's going to come a time in your life where the devil's going to get you frustrated with people and frustrated with church and frustrated with your job and frustrated with a lot of things. And he's going to try to suggest to you, don't go there, don't be there, don't do that. And if he gets you to do that, he wins. But some of y'all think you're doing God a favor. Somebody told me one time they needed to regroup. How you going to regroup by yourself? Regroup means get with the group. You don't regroup alone. Y'all gonna stop me to cussing up in here tonight in a few minutes. If I'm building a fire, and I got me 10 logs burning, and the fire's blazing, and I take the one log and pull it away from the other 9 logs and put it over here and sit by itself, that log will burn out a lot sooner than the 9 logs will. Yeah. Y'all, you're not going to stay on fire over here by yourself.
Yeah.
And y'all need to hear what I'm telling you today. Some of you are isolating yourself and cutting away and thinking that you're doing something good. That's not the will of God. So my challenge to you today is God. Matter of fact, the will of the Lord is not for you to be by yourself, but for you to stay with others. Tell your neighbor, stay with others, stay with others. Here's what being isolated leads you to. The Lord said, what are you doing here? So he said, I have been very zealous, verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. See, he had a mentality. He said, I'm the only one left. When God responds to him, God says, Elijah,
I got 7,000 that ain't bowed down. And I'm saying to you today, don't put yourself in an isolated posture. Let's do life together. I got an amen. I want somebody to say amen with me that we're going to do life together. God designed for you to go through your issues with a team of people who can encourage you and support you and pray for you and speak life over you and give hope to you and pray with you and cry with you and hold you up and intercede. Now, if you got some jokers that ain't speaking life to you, kick them out of your life. You don't need them in your life. But you need somebody in your life who can believe God with you, who can walk with you, who can encourage you. That's what God called us to do. Pray for one another. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's family. I can't get to where I'm going by myself. I need you and you need me. Now, at some point in your life, I'm coming to a close. I'm bringing my plane in for a landing. I'm bringing my boat into the dock. I'm pulling the car into the garage. I'm putting the dishes away out of the kitchen. You might not have this going on in your life today, but at some point in your future, I promise you, you're going to face this kind of a moment. And it's important that you know that I'm not going to do what the devil is suggesting for me to do. Tell your neighbor, stay close. Stay plugged in. Amen. I'm done. I'm finished. Somebody here today needs Jesus. Where you at? Come on down here. You need forgiveness of sins. You've disobeyed God. You've walked away. Somebody needs to rededicate. Matter of fact, I believe this is a message for people who have backslid and drifted away from God. Somebody who's quit the ministry, quit the service of the Lord. God's calling you today to be obedient to Him. And let me make an appeal for you to get out of your seat and make your way here right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. We want you to be in the perfect will of God. Make your way out of your seat and come down here right this moment. That's right. Come on. Come on. Come. Come. You need to rededicate. You need a church home. Come on. Come. Come right this moment.
He will give you brand new life.
Life abundant.
Life abundantly.
So come.
Come
on.
Come on.
To Christ.
We owe the price.
We owe the price to you.
Oh, my brother.
Oh, my brother.
We
owe the price to you.
Oh, my
sister. Oh, my sister.
He will give you bread and life.
He will give you bread and life.
Life abundantly.
Life abundantly.
Life abundantly.
souls here today. Is there anybody else? Let me just take one or two more minutes, because I believe there are others that should come that are not here, for you to come right now, right this moment, right this minute. Don't delay it. Don't wrestle with the devil. Don't entertain his thoughts, but say yes to the Lord. Say yes to God. Submit to his will. If you're already saved, but you need a church home, this is a great church. You come right now too. You're already saved. You want to join this church? This is a good church. Come on, right now, right this moment. Come on, anybody else? Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
He will give you brand new life. Life abundant. Oh, he will give you brand new life.
Life abundant.
He will give you brand new life.
All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Take your time, we got time.
They've been trained to minister to you today. They're going to take you to a room, sit down, talk with you, find out why you came. They're going to share some scriptures with you, give you some instructions, going to pray with you. Your life is never going to be the same. Ever. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every last one of these souls today that has come forward. And I pray that you would fill them with the power of your might and your spirit in the name of Jesus. Forgive them. Give them a heart and mind of repentance and faith, and accomplish your perfect will in their life. Fill them with the Holy Spirit, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give the Lord a shout for this soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Excellent. Excellent. All right. I believe there still was a mother supposed to come. I'll be down here. You want to come when we dismiss, you can come down here and tell me, hey, it's me. I should have came. Amen. Did y'all get that word today? All right. Be blessed. Have a great day. See you later.